Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm gonna read verses 1 down through 12. I don't think we read them all last week, but we'll read them this week, and then we're going to drop back and look at verse 3 this afternoon. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity we have to be in your house on Sunday evening. Lord, we thank for these that have taken time, Lord, to come to the house of God, Lord. And I pray now that you'll help us for just a little bit as we look at this verse here in Matthew chapter 5. Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we try to look at these thoughts, Lord, on the poor in spirit, Lord. And I pray that you just ever stir our hearts about the need in our lives, Lord, to be the Christian that we should be, Lord, in this world that we're living in today. Father, have your way. Go with us through this service, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. Bible says here in verse 3, said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We started looking at this sermon last week in verse 1 and 2 at the thought that he opened his mouth and taught them. And in all the teachings of Jesus, this is the longest sermon that's recorded in the Bible. As we look at verse 3 in more detail, the first verses are known as the Beatitudes. Someone has said that these are attitudes that should be obvious in every Christian. Each of these Beatitudes begins with the word blessed, and the Greek word for blessed means happy. We find that same probably word in the Hebrew over in Psalms chapter 1 where it said, "Blessed is the man," or "happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water of life." And so we look at this passage of Scripture, and I believe that the whole world is longing and looking for happiness, and the majority are doing so in a way that only produces misery in their life. A believer is not going to live off of happenings, but we're going to live by the joy of the Lord. If we're going to be the kind of Christian that we should be in this life, we're going to have to enjoy and have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And I believe that this Sermon on the Mount here, it's not if we do these things that we can be saved. It's not a way to be saved, but I believe for us as believers today, it's a way for that daily process of sanctification to work in our lives. And if we could get to the point and place where we could apply these Beatitudes to our life, I believe we'd be better Christian. I believe we could be that person that God would be pleased with. And there he said to start it off, the first one was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I believe this is where the deceitfulness of sin comes in a lot of times. It's always offering happiness and always leads to unhappiness and disappointment in our lives, when in reality we need these things in our lives so we can be a better Christian, so we can enjoy the joy of the Lord in our lives. And if you look at these just individually down through there, you'll find that if these are in your life, that we will be a better person. I mean, we'll be a better person to those that we come into contact with. We'll be the kind of person I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to be. As He's teaching these, when He saw these multitudes, He went up into that mountain. It wasn't even it's just a regular mountain, the way the writers say about this mountain. It wasn't one of the mountains that stood out to the Jewish people, but it was a lowly place, I believe, where Jesus took His place there and sat there, and He taught the disciples and those that were gathered around Him how they should live and how they should act and the things that should be in their heart. And the sermon here on the mount says, however, that if you really want to be happy, here's the way. And this alone is the type of person that's truly happy, the one that's truly blessed from God. And I believe there's three things here that we can be, that can be drawn from the Beatitudes. Number one, first, that all Christians are to be like this. It ain't just something that some of us ought to be. Hey, but I believe the church and the world would be a better place if all Christians would be, as Jesus is teaching these Beatitudes, have those applied in our lives. Second, I believe all Christians are meant to manifest all of these characteristics. I mean, these things ought to be in all of us, which we know that they're not a lot of times. But if we had all these characteristics was manifested in us, I believe that people would be more apt to see Christ in our lives. We dwell on a lot of negatives a lot of times. In reality, that don't make us a better Christian. It's just an outward expression that we want people to see. But these things, when you get down where the rubber meets the road, these things that Jesus is teaching should be Christians should be in their life and have these characteristics. Third, none of these descriptions are natural tendency to you and I. I mean, we have to work at it. If we're going to have these Beatitudes to be attitudes in our own life that would show forth and be a witness to this world. And I believe these first three Beatitudes deal basically with what we are. And what we are is more important than what we do. And we do what we do because we are what we are. And so we see the first Beatitude, I believe, here speaks to, of those who are poor in spirit. And I believe the first demand is for humility in our life. If we're going to be poor in spirit, we're going to have humility in our lives this evening. Notice where Isaiah, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verses 8, to 23, and I'll probably not read all these verses, but he starts out there in verse 8. As Isaiah is pinning this down, he's preaching to the children of Israel. He said, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." Verse 11, he says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink." And skip down to verse 18, he says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." And then verse 20, he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Verse 21, he said, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Verse 22, he said, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." In this he poured out his compassion and his conviction on Israel, but notice the change when he found himself in the presence of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. He could see what was going on with Israel. He could pour out his compassion and his convictions, but when he looked at others, but when he got a glimpse of the Lord in his own life, then he seen what he really was. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
Above it stood the seraphims, which each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, he said, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We see a sense of God's presence deals instantly with a haughty spirit that all of us struggle with at times in our life. Hey, we all have to struggle. We all struggle with that, because if we're not careful, we'll let that haughty, holier than thou spirit, hey, we don't get in us, and we won't see ourselves. We can see others, but we don't see ourselves. And it's interesting how each of these Beatitudes builds off of the previous Beatitude. I believe this is the foundation of each Beatitude. Hey, there are things that must be done first before other things can be done. Hey, there are basics that must be done first before more complex things can be attempted and accomplished in our lives. And so, why is it important that we find this first Beatitude in our lives, in our everyday walk with God? I believe this verse is this is the verse upon which the whole Sermon on the Mount builds upon. This is the first step to living the Christian life. It's also the first step to becoming a Christian. Being poor in spirit doesn't mean to be poor-spirited. Hey, the Lord isn't encouraging a bad or poor attitude, nor is the Lord speaking about physical poverty. The word translated for poor here is the word used for someone who is so poor he has to beg. And we all know poor people who don't have much but are able to survive in this world. Hey, the person that's described here by the Lord is so poor that he has to continually ask for help. And then we're getting right down to what we need. When we're poor in spirit, hey, we realize what we need, and we're continually having to ask the Lord for help. One commentator said, poverty of spirit, then, is the person's acknowledgement of spiritual bankruptcy. And you realize also that you have no righteousness good enough for God. You realize that you don't have the resources to live righteously within yourself, and your only hope is to cry out to God for help. And this, I believe, is true humility in our lives when we realize our uncleanness, our iniquity, our wickedness, what we really are, and then we get to the point we realize that we have to call out to God. And I believe the spiritual beggar knows that he is nothing, that he has nothing, and that he's dependent of God for everything in his life. And I believe we get to that point in place in our life, then I believe we're getting to the place where God can help us, when he can guide us, and when we can be what he wants us to be. So I believe there's at least three areas here that are affected by being poor in spirit. And I believe you'd have to agree with me this evening. Number one, I believe salvation is affected by being poor in spirit. Salvation is affected by being poor in spirit. Who did Jesus come to save? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm going to tell you, it's pretty hard to get somebody saved until you can that individual gets to the place, hey, where they realize that they're spiritually bankrupt, that they have nothing good in themselves, that they can't save themselves, and that they're a sinner, and they have to take their place as a sinner. They're going to have to get poor in spirit before they can see themselves. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If Jesus came to save sinners, hey, we must admit that we're a sinner to ever be saved. And if you're saved this evening, hey, there came a time in your life that you had to get to that place that you didn't have nowhere to turn, that you seen your sin, you seen the offense in your life to God, and what was keeping you from getting saved, you had to confess it up, and you had to become poor in spirit to be able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and know that He was the only way. So to be truly be saved, you must begin by admitting that you're a poor, lost, hell-deserving sinner, and you have to be poor in spirit, realizing that you have no hope or forgiveness in yourself. When your person gets to that point, that's why there's a multitude that's in the valley of decisions. They can't see themselves. Hey, they're not poor in spirit. Everybody thinks that I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good just because I live by the golden rule. And they don't see themselves as a lost and dying soul that's on their way to hell. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14. The Bible tells us two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, said, God, be merciful to me as a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hey, one of these men showed pride, and the other showed humility. Hey, the one that humbled himself before God, hey, was the one who was righteous before God. It is the person who humbles himself toward God and turns to Jesus by faith, poor in spirit, broken, knowing he deserves nothing that's saved. And you got to get to that point in place where you see yourself and realize it. Hey, that all you need is Jesus, and your sin is separating you from God. And a person's going to have to junk their pride. I mean, there's a lot of religious people in this world that thinks they're doing pretty good. Hey, there's a lot of people that's knocking doors, that's going out there, and they're lost as a ball in highway. And it's because of their pride that they keep doing, because man wants to do something to get to God. Hey, but an individual is going to have to get to that point and place, hey, where they're poor in their spirit, hey, that they can see themselves for what they are, just as Isaiah saw himself. He realized he was a man that was undone. He was a man of unclean lips, dwelling amongst a people of unclean things. And so he seen himself when he seen the holiness of God. And you and I, as this publican, publican here, he realized, even though the sin that he had been in and the things about his life, he saw himself and he turned to God. He said that he wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He had the humility of knowing what he was, what he had done, and what he needed in his life. So we see salvation is affected by being poor in spirit. If we never had got to that point and place in our lives, we never would have got saved. We never would have got saved. And then not only salvation is affected by being poor in spirit, but number two, submission is affected by being poor in spirit. I believe a Christian who is poor in spirit is submissive to God. When we get to the reality of being poor in our spirit, hey, that's when we can submit. We don't like to submit. Did you know that? You know why this church is empty? People don't like to submit to God. They're prideful. They want to be their own person. They want to do their own thing. And so we see a Christian is poor in spirit is submissive to God. And you'll never be submissive to God till we get to that point and place of being poor in our spirit. I believe a Christian realizes that he has done nothing to save himself, first of all. Number two, he realizes that he can do nothing in his own power. You know, we can't do nothing within ourselves. It's all through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us that we're even able to really get to that point in place that we can be poor in our spirit, that we can do what God wants us to do and be submissive to Him. And then number three, he realizes that apart from Christ, he's nothing. What causes us to fail to be submissive? What causes us to not be poor in spirit? I believe it's the little word pride. It's pride that gets us. It's pride that makes us think that we're so important that we worry about what others think about us. It's pride that causes us to want to be something that we're not because we want people to look at us, and it hinders us from being what we should be, and we're going to have to get to that point in place of being poor in spirit. Hey, it's pride that often causes our feelings to be hurt because we think that we should have things our way. It's pride that makes worry about ourselves and our well-being. It's pride that causes many to make financial decisions that makes us feel good or have something to impress someone else. Hey, we want a better car. We want better clothes. We want a better education. We want more knowledge than someone else. And it's all through pride that these things come. We get a haughty spirit wanting to be something that others will look up to. It's pride that will cause people to go out and spend money this Christmas season to impress people that they don't even like a lot of times. Spend money that they don't have to impress people that they don't like. It's pride that causes us to be critical of others. You know, it's pretty easy to be critical of others when we get lifted up in pride and we think that we've arrived. And you know, we can get to that point in a spiritual level if we're not careful. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with those who do. You know, we think just because we don't do this and we don't do that, hey, that we're a better Christian than somebody else. It's pride that makes us refuse to change what we know that we should change in our lives. To junk ourselves, to allow God to do and accomplish what He wants to in our life. So how do we become poor in spirit? We compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus instead of someone else. If I start comparing myself to you and you start comparing yourself to me or someone else, hey, we might come out looking pretty good. I mean, we compare ourselves one to another. But if we go to comparing ourselves to Jesus, we begin to see what we really are. Hey, we begin to see the holiness of Jesus, and we don't feel too good about ourselves then. When we compare ourselves with Jesus, we'll always come away humble in our hearts. So we see salvation is affected by being poor in spirit. Submission is affected by being poor in spirit. And then I believe, number three, that service is affected by being poor in spirit. I believe the person that's truly poor in spirit is available to God, even though he realizes that he in himself is nothing. We got several illustrations in the Bible, I believe, that we can look at it. Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah got a glimpse of God. He got a glimpse of the Lord and how holy he was. He seen how unclean he was, and he got to that point and place, and his service was affected by being poor in spirit when he began to look at himself. And then he got to that place and he said, Here I am, here am I. You get to that point and place where we get poor in spirit, I believe that we can accomplish what God wants wants us to be. I believe Isaiah, after he seen the Lord, after he seen himself, he accomplished, he pinned down the book of Isaiah. He was the prophet that God could use and that was available for service to God. So we see where our service is affected by being poor in spirit is Isaiah. David also seen himself, what he was. David had great plans. He had a great outlook, what he wanted to do for God. And in the latter years of his life, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 18, Paul said, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? And it goes on and it gets on down and it says, and it talks about what God's going to do with David, how he's going to use his seed to build that house. We know that God had already said that David couldn't build the temple for him to dwell in because he had shed much blood. Hey, but then David, he had a heart to do something for God. And even though when he got on down to the end of this chapter, verse 18 said, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? He said, who am I, Lord? I'm just a lowly servant. Who am I that you could use, have used the way that you have? And we find that even though God wouldn't let David do what he wanted to accomplish in his life, we find that later on that David began to lay up the materials for the building of the temple that his son Solomon, and he got to that point, he was poor in spirit, and God was able to use him in the capacity that he wanted to use him in. These men all seen themselves. They seen how sinful they was, and outside of the Lord using them and blessing them in their life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so we find they seen themselves, they seen God for who He was and what He was and what He wanted to do, and God was able to use them. And then Peter in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So we find Peter here. We know the spirit that Peter had. He was the kind of man that would take the sword and cut off Malchus's ear. I mean, but we find that as he got to that place, hey, where he seen himself for what he was, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He seen what God could do, and he seen what God could do using him, And we find the call that came to Peter that he would be a fisherman man. And that same Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost there. He preached, the 11 standing up with him, and he preached to that great host of people, and 3,000 souls were saved that day. We need to be poor in our spirit. Hey, that we're trusting God. That we're looking to God. Realize we're nothing without Him. The blessing is on that individual that is poor in their spirit. And it's easy a lot of times, though, to make excuses not to be used of God. We want to wallow in our pity, in our self-pity of thinking that, you know, we can't do it because we can't do it. Hey, but if we realize that what we are, that we're just sinful men, we're weak men without the power of God, and we realize that we need to cry out to Him, that we need to trust Him, then I believe that's where the blessing of God is going to come in our lives. I was looking at a message that a man preached, and he gave some applications for those that are poor in spirit at the end of his message. He said, people who are poor in spirit give up the idea that God owes them. Hey, God don't owe us nothing. Hey, He saved us by the grace of God. We were on our ways to hell. Hey, He pulled us out of a horrible pit, set our feet upon a rock, established our going. God don't owe us nothing, but if we get poor in spirit and realizing what we are, but what God is and what God can do, He can use us. Number two, he said, people who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask. People who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask. We see homeless people all around. We see them holding up signs. We're very critical a lot of times. And that some of them could do better, but some of them probably need help. We were out yonder in Montrose, Colorado, and we'd went in and got some gas, got some groceries, and come out. And I seen this, she couldn't speak no English. She was Hispanic, and she was sitting there on the corner, and she had a little baby with her. And I know they pray on people, and I'm pretty easy to pray upon, because I figure I'm not going to pass somebody up sometimes if the Holy Ghost nudges my heart. And so while we had ended up back over there, and she was still sitting out there, and I went up there, I walked up there, and I handed her a $10 bill and give her $10. But she was out there. She needed help, she said. But she couldn't understand. I couldn't talk to her, so I couldn't get no information. I just gave her the money and walked on. She said, God bless you. And that was all I could understand that she said, Brother Darrell. But you know, she wasn't ashamed to get out there and beg. And she may not have needed it, but that's a picture of an individual, hey, that they're in need. The poor people, a lot of times, as I mentioned at the outstart, a lot of poor people, they make it through this life even though they don't have nothing, because a lot of them are not afraid to ask. You and I, as Christians, as saved people, when we get poor in spirit, we realize what we are within ourselves. We're nothing. We can't do nothing. Hey, we can't accomplish anything. Hey, that we get to that point and place in our life when we're poor in spirit, we're not afraid to ask God to help us and to show us the way. Number three, people who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. People who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive from God. And then there was a fourth thing. People who are poor in spirit, glory in the cross. Glory in the cross, realizing that we're nothing. Most excuses that we offer or make can be traced back to our pride. That we're afraid we're going to mess up. We're afraid we're not going to do it exactly the way we think it ought to be done. And we find that the great men of the Bible who were used by God were men that recognized their inability but then allowed God to work in them and through them to accomplish what He desires to in their life. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you what, it's all going to wind up in glory one of these days. I wrote a passage of Scripture down, Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Let me read it. Isaiah 57, verse 15. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." So we see, hey, God said He dwells with them. Even though we're not in heaven today, I'm glad, hey, that the God of heaven will dwell in us. We get a little touch of heaven here on this earth. We don't have to wait to go to heaven, but we can get a little touch because God has promised to dwell with us and in us, those that are humble and of a contrite spirit. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, we know that, Lord, we've not done this passage justice, Lord, here in these Beatitudes. But God, I pray that something was said, that you'll lodge something in our heart that will help us to be that kind of person, that kind of Christian that you desire for us to be. Help us to not be haughty and prideful, but, Lord, to be humble and be that one that would be poor in spirit and allow you, Lord, to work in our lives and to use us as you have those men of the past. And God, that we might accomplish something in this life, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of heaven. Thank you, the promise, Lord, of the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the promise, Lord, that you can use us here in this world, even before that time comes for us to part this place, Lord, that we live in, that we call home, God. Lord, I pray now that you go with us through this week. Help us to go out in this world to be that one that would be poor in spirit. Lord, that would lift up the name of Jesus, that would glory in the cross for what you've done in our lives. We love you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen.